Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How does God turn family tragedy into hope for thousands? David Benson's oldest son, Bobby, was mixed with drugs, the wrong crowd, and crime. He died of suicide. 2.5 years later, David's younger son died in a car accident. Crushed, he made a decision to look at life differently and came up with the idea of a residential drug and alcohol treatment center for teens, the Bobby Benson Center, a place of refuge, help, and hope for more than 25 years. Hope, help, refuge. That's why we pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. I don't know if you're mixed with drugs or hanging with the wrong crowd or on the periphery or maybe in the middle of a life of crime. But God knows, and of course you know, and maybe a few people around you know, maybe more than a few people. But in the midst of that, we're here to remind you that God loves you and God knows you, and there's always hope in Jesus to bring you out, to save you, because Christ loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross, dear friend, to wash your sins away. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose again from the grave, and the living Christ has the power to change you, to renew you, to save you. David Benson retired as a major, a division commander for the Honolulu Police Department, and became the chief of police in Castleton, Vermont. He worked with the Rutland County Sheriff's Department there in Vermont for 10 years before returning to Hawaii. He's on the faculty at the University of Phoenix, teaching criminal justice. He earned his associates in police science from the University of Hawaii, a bachelor's in sociology and police science from Chaminade University, and a master's in education from Castleton University. He's married to Cindy. Now, here's David in this pre-recorded interview. David Benson, why did you build the Bobby Benson Center?
I had a choice when Bobby died in my life, which path I was going to take. Keep feeling sorry for myself or do something about it. And my decision was, one was a dead end and one would help somebody else. And,
you had to make this choice, a fork in the road. Let's take a few steps back. How did Bobby die?
When he was 15, he committed suicide after getting involved in drugs, getting involved with the wrong crowd, surfing, cutting out of school, stealing, just a downward spiral. And being in the police department, I tried different things and to do it, but it was kind of new to me that having my own son doing something like that. I did have him arrested once and kind of make believe. Had my officers help me, and that didn't seem to do anything. And one day I got a call that Bobby was dead and he had shot himself. So,
what did that do to you?
It darn near killed me. I mean it. I remember getting the call from my ex-wife. She called and said, Bobby's dead. And I said, what happened? He said, somebody shot him, which is what the call was at the time. And I told my boss, I'm going out there. Would you notify the chief? And I drove out there, and I remember emptying my gun on the way out, just not even to tempt myself. I opened it up and dumped the bullets out. But I got out there, and I got there before anybody else did. And it was pretty devastating, lying there in a pool of blood. And I sat, you know, as things progressed, the chief sent his homicide guys out just to make sure it was either a homicide or a suicide. They concluded it was a suicide. And my ex-wife's new husband and I, after the body was removed, we went in and cleaned up the blood and everything, which was kind of traumatic, but I was kind of numb by then. And Mike wasn't home, and somebody said, Mike's coming down the street on his skateboard. Could I go talk to him? And so I went out and sort of intercepted him and told him Bobby had passed away. And he didn't seem too bothered by that. He came in and we chatted. But from that point on, I did a lot of drinking, and I didn't go with people. You know, I went to work and I came straight home.
As a police officer?
Yeah. Go to work, do my job, and do it well, but go home and just sit and listen to mournful music and drink. And next thing I know, I wake up and go to bed. And it was a downward spiral, and that went on for a month or two. And it got to the point where it was really a dead end. I thought of committing suicide myself a couple times, and then I tried to figure out, you know, what would that accomplish? Nothing. And I figured that probably the best thing for me to do would be to quit drinking, because I wasn't thinking straight. And so New Year's Eve, I said, that's a good starting point. And so at midnight, I was working that night anyway, so it was kind of a wide open period, but at midnight was the conclusion of any drinking that I would do, and I haven't had anything since. And then with my mind thinking a little straighter, I had a vision. Bobby came to me, which was so real. Bobby stood at the foot of my bed, very illuminated, and dressed as he always dressed, and had a toothpick in his mouth, and he just stood there with a grin on his face, just so Bobby. And he said something to the effect that, I've got 84 days or 83 days on you. You know, and chuckled, and said, good for you, or something along those lines, and turned around and walked out of the bedroom, and the illumination went with him. And I got up and went to the hallway, and he was gone. The interesting thing is, I wasn't home. I was on the mainland, but my vision was in my bedroom in my apartment. And it always hung in my mind, what is 84 days? And it finally dawned on me after about 2 months that it was from the day he died to the day I quit drinking was 84 days. The idea came to, because there was nothing for me to do with him other than take him to a psychologist or something when he was doing his drugs. There was no place to send him. I thought, what it would be like to build something for teenagers that would help a lot of kids. And
in the midst of absolute devastation, I mean, you listen to David share, I mean, even going back a number of years, a few decades, the pain, the utter depth of the tragedy can still be felt, can still be sensed very, very deeply. In the midst of that, I wonder, Suzanne, you know, how God would work through such agony and bring out something that would be redemptive. Well, as you listen to David, what came to mind?
Well, the first thing I think of is it sounds like he had custody of both of his sons, which is very unusual. So here is a man raising two boys as a single parent, and then, and he was attempting to help his son, Bobby, getting him counseling, working with him. I don't think any of us can fully comprehend the devastation of a suicide. And a suicide by gunshot is particularly difficult.
Well, when we come back, we'll hear more from David, and him sharing, of course, after this vision, this very special vision that he had, what happened as a result. What did it lead to? What happened on the inside of him? What was the process like? And by the way, I remember reading an article, I think, to be accurate, according to that article, I think the boys may have been under the custody of their mother at that time.
Okay.
But I think that may have been the case in an article that I read. I think it was back in 1991 when that article was written.
Okay.
When we come back, more from David Benson. This is one of those programs where he is so transparent about something that is so deep. It certainly draws you in. But when you listen to what has taken place as a result of that, there is a sense of marvel. And then you think about a marvelous God who is able to literally bring hope out of a situation of just utter hopelessness and helplessness. Sharing heart to heart with you, hey, the Good Life Radio Show. Stay with us. There's more. Okay, we'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
His name is Bobby Benson. He's the son of David Benson. And it's after Bobby that the Bobby Benson Center is named, bobbybenson.org. You can find out more about the Bobby Benson Center right there at bobbybenson.org. Before our break, David Benson was sharing about a vision that he saw and the impact that it had, This is the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer. This is a pre-recorded interview with David Benson.
Nothing for me to do with him other than take him to a psychologist or something when he was doing his drugs. There was no place to send him. I thought, wonder it would be like to build something that, for teenagers, that would help a lot of kids. And as that idea started to generate, got more and more interested in it and started getting friends of mine to examine the possibilities and talking to people who ran things like that. And one thing led to another, and started putting together a program and started looking around the mainland to different places and traveling and looking at treatment centers for teenagers. And one day I got a call that this individual had some land in Kahuku and wanted to give it to an entity that would use it, but he didn't know who to give it to, so he was going to have a meeting. And he set up a meeting, so about maybe a dozen people showed up, a dozen people, groups, and each of us had a turn to tell him what we'd use the land for if he gave it to us. And when it was all finished, he said he would notify us, and about a week later he called me up and he said, I want to give the land to you. It's going to lease it to us for $1 a year for 60 years. It's like giving it to me. He said, the reason I want to do that is, he said, my daughter is a drug addict, has been for years. I've sent her to Betty Ford. I've done so much for her, trying to get her off the drugs, and nothing has worked. It's just been futile. And maybe if I can help you and we can help other kids, I'll feel a little better about the whole thing. And maybe my daughter will see that as a good example. And so we started doing that. Of course, somebody said, well, what are you going to spend? How are you going to pay for all this? And I said, I don't know. I mean, it'll happen, I guess. And
at this time, were you still working, still with HPD?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's one thing I never called sick. I always went to work, always did my job. I didn't mix the two. And I remember they sent somebody down who lost a son to try to talk to me, and I ended up counseling him. He broke down in tears. He missed his son, and it was kind of awkward. So, but good effort. But I found somebody in town that was very powerful, and he said, yeah, he'd help me raise the money. And so I put on an event that raised a lot of money, and he went to corporations and raised a lot of money, and I went to the legislature and I raised a lot of money. So we had a third, and we raised the money and built the center. And September 1st, we opened our doors in 1990. So 25 years this past September.
What have you seen take place in the lives of young people at the center?
I've seen a lot of amazing transformations. You know, when we get kids that come in out there, many of them far worse than Bobby ever was. I mean, they've been abused sexually. They've been abused by their family physically. They've been out on the street. They've been doing drugs for a long time. They've been arrested. I mean, just, and many of them, all of the above. And to see them to come in there and probably live in a place that they'd probably never live in or never had lived in, that was as clean and nice and comfortable as that, and having staff out there that cared, that really worked with them to understand themselves and what brought them to this level in their life, and to watch them change, and to watch things like music and art, talents come out of them that they'd never even explored. And really fall in love with what their sobriety, and when they graduate, how tearful they were, and not only saying thank you, but a little bit of fear about where they're going to go.
Apprehension about what the next step in life will be.
What's the next step? But part of our whole program is not only to look at where you came from, but where you're going to go afterwards. So we put a lot of effort into helping them decide where they're going to live when they leave us.
Transition.
Yeah. Are they going to go home, or is that where the problem is? Or are they going to go to a foster home, or are they going to go to an auntie's house? Or, you know, we try to work with the parents as much as we can and make sure that after the program that it's not just throwing you to the wolves, it's getting you to slowly get out on your own. But we also explain to them that this is a toolbox. It's your tools. We're going to train you how to use your tools and make creative things and good decisions. And should you slip and fall, it's like a bicycle, get back on it and keep riding, you know. And we've had relapses, yes, but open that toolbox and get back to work. And I've run into, I was going through TSA at the airport one day, and this big Samoan girl gave me a TSA agent, grabbed me and gave me a big hug, and I thought, oh my God, what's going on here? And she was a graduate of the Bobby Benson Center, and she just wanted to thank me. And she was crying, and
wow.
I mean, I just really did something, you know. And I brought some kids from Vermont over here, and the media was interviewing me at the airport one time, and I said, I really got to go. The plane's waiting, and the pilot was standing right there, and he said, take your time, Dave. And so when they were finished, he walked in, he put his arm around me, and he said, I just want to thank you. My son went to your Bobby Benson Center. This is a pilot of big 747, you know. And I've run into a lot of youngsters and parents of youngsters that have just said thank you. And I don't know what to say most of the time other than I'm happy about it. But it really, really makes my heart smile, you know, that so much of it is helping people.
You have another son, Mike.
Mike.
What's the story of Mike?
I guess about 2.5 years after Bobby died, and I was in the process of actually building a center. And my younger boy, Mike, who's a little over 2 years younger than Bobby, was helping me at the center, and we were going to build a park, and we were going to do all kinds of things, but he was very interested in it. And one day, we were at a chief's inspection, and I was a major at the time, and I was the chief's executive, and I was with him in the lineup when an officer came in and said something to him, and then he turned and looked at me and then turned around and walked out. And I trotted up beside him, and I said, what's up, boss? And he put his arm around me, and he said, there's been an accident. And I said, what happened? And he said, Mike's been in an accident. It's not good. And we were going up the stairs at the time, and I felt myself just collapsing. And all I could say is, why are you doing this to me, God? You know. And so we went to the hospital, and he was on life support, and I stayed with him overnight. He didn't die until the next day when I turned the life support off. But had the doctor try several different extensive testing. The doctor said if it was my son, I'd try some different test, you know, just to make sure. But he was straight line.
How much more can a man take? How much more can human beings take? There are times when we wonder, we ask, and even as David Benson asked, in a prayer to God, in the form of a question, why God? Why why are you doing this to me? As his legs wilted. Suzanne, I mean, we're talking about some very, very deep and serious pain. And yet God worked something that has saved hundreds and hundreds of lives.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make sense of that?
You know, without Christ and without the knowledge of his love, the knowledge of his forgiveness, the knowledge that he will never leave or forsake us, that he will carry us through, I don't know how people could do it. And to think that here was Dave right in the midst of building this center that would change, as you said, hundreds of lives, and then to have to receive this news, it's pretty hard to even comprehend.
And there is something of a twist in it.
Yes.
That's also intriguing.
Yes.
We'll come back to that. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. This is a pre-recorded interview with David Benson. David is the founder of the Bobby Benson Center in Kahuku. You can find out more about the Bobby Benson Center at bobbybenson.org. Perhaps as you listen today, you think maybe this could be useful for my son or my daughter. I didn't know it existed. I didn't know about it. Maybe I heard about it, but didn't know the backstory of it. Well, as you listen, this may be an answer for you. I remember watching a video recently of the Bobby Benson Center on Olelo presentation, and just hearing the staff, directors, speaking with such hope. And the theme of Bobby Benson Center is a place of refuge, help, and hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember hearing that staff director say, we can help. We can help. You look for a tangible way of help. Well, this may be it. God may use this to help you, dear friend. A loved one, maybe your child, maybe a grandchild, maybe a nephew or niece, friend. When we come back from our break, more in this pre-recorded interview with David Benson. And when we come back, think about those times in life where you may have been severely set back. Severely. And it could be a moment right now. You might feel not only that you're on your heels, but you are on your back. And you're broken. You're broken on the inside. But that God, even in this example of David Benson, can use that to possibly even save lives. Is there a reason? Is there hope? Sometimes we don't understand, but God can still use brokenness for hope. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
David Benson is the founder of the Bobby Benson Center. You can find out more about the Bobby Benson Center at bobbybenson.org. Before our break, he spoke to us about the passing of his first son, Bobby. But before our break, he talked to us about the passing of his second son. And so we come back to that now in this pre-recorded interview. If you're tuning in right now, you can get this program in its entirety at thegoodlifehawaii.com. It's a free podcast. As you listen to it, think about who else you could share this with. But now we come back to the pre-recorded program with David Benson.
And I stayed with him overnight. He didn't die until the next day when I turned the life support off. But had the doctor try several different extensive testing. The doctor said if it was my son, I'd try some different test, you know, just to make sure. But he was straight line. And so the next morning, the doctor, and I was talking to him and holding his hand, the nurse came in and said, I'm going to get some ointment for his eyes because they're very dry. He's not, you know. And the breathing machine was going. And I said, okay. And so I talked to him and just said, Mike, no matter where you go, if you stay here, you're with me. If you leave, you'll be with your brother. You know, I said, we both love you. Probably we both want you, but, you know, whatever the decision is from upstairs, that's what we're going to do. And a big tear came out of his eye. And the nurse came in and said, where'd that come from? There was tears coming out of his eyes, and the machine stopped. Turned off. So that was the end of him. Now, one thing that we did that the night before the accident, Mike called me about midnight and he said, hey, Dad, did I wake you? And I said, yeah, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. He said, oh, sorry. Anyway, he said, I'm going to go back to school. He had dropped out of school. He said, I'm going back to school and I have a meeting with the counselor tomorrow morning. In fact, that's where he was going when he got hit. And he said, I'm going to be famous someday. I want you to be really proud of me. And I said, Mike, I'm already very proud of you. I couldn't be more proud of you. And we chatted for a while. But next day was the accident. But the reason I bring that up is because for the next week, he was in the headlines of the papers here. Mm. We had agreed to allow organ transplants. His heart was the state of Hawaii's first heart transplant. Mr. Silva got his heart. His corneas went to two people. His knees went to two people. And right before I retired, a guy came to my office, ex-con, and my secretary said, "Does somebody out here wants to see you?" And I said, "Okay." And she said, "He looks pretty weird. He got tattoos and everything." I said, "Well, okay." He came in, and he shut the door, and I thought, uh-oh. And he had tears coming out of his eyes, and he sat down, and he just said, "I just want to thank you." I said, "For what?" He said, "I have your son's liver." He said, "I got a liver transplant." He said, "I prayed to God to give me a liver." And I had just given up when they came in and said, "We have one for you." Hmm. And he said, "I have his liver." So.
What about the accident and the irony of the connection?
I can't explain it. It's knowing the person that ran into Bobby was his daughter, that the guy that gave me the land was his daughter. And where he lived on the North Shore and where the accident happened in Hawaii Kai, and the fact that she was loaded on cocaine and Valium when the accident happened, you couldn't make that story up. I mean, it's million to one odds that that would happen. And it was just hard to, explain.
You said when you first heard the news about Mike, when the chief put his arm around you, you went limp. Mm-hmm. And you said, "Why are you doing this to me?" To God. "God, why are you doing this to me? Why? What? Has he answered you? Has said that? Do you have a greater level of understanding now?"
Not really. Maybe he has, and I haven't heard him. It's still something that I'm trying to put together with something. But I've talked to a number of people recently since I met the wonderful lady in my life, and they've
Cindy.
Kind of explained a different way to look at it, that maybe God's whole mission with Mike was to save him from something rather than to hurt me. It was to save him. Mm. And maybe with Bobby, the same thing, that there are a number of different ways to look at it. It's not just all about me. And that's really helped me a lot to understand that, you know, I'm not in charge, and neither was Mike. And there has to be something in the design there, and I just have to have faith that whatever it is, it may or may not ever come to me. I just have to have faith that it was just and it's what God wanted.
David Benson. David, where did you grow up?
When or where?
Where? Born, well, where were you born?
Where did
you grow up?
Yeah, I was born in Molokai. You know, one of the few Haoles that were born over there, I'm sure. But my dad was a plantation doctor over there. And he got out of medical school and he went to, did his intern at Queens, and then as a residency, he was a plantation doctor for California Packing and Dole on Molokai. He was the only doctor on the island, so he kind of delivered everybody over there. And my uncle, my dad's older brother, was also a doctor, and they both graduated the same time. He was a ship doctor, but the war broke out December 7th, and the present lines where my uncle was were taken as troop carriers, so that he got kicked off the boat, and he came over to Molokai, so that he delivered me over there, and they couldn't fly me to Honolulu, so.
Delivered you there.
Yeah, so I was born on Molokai in Ho'olehua and Shingle Hospital, which no longer exists, but... when I was about 3, maybe 4 years old, my mom got cancer, and we came to Oahu, where she passed away. And I remember that day very succinctly, the day she died. But I've got some good memories of my mom, even though I was very young.
What are they?
Well, they're kind of funny. We had a Pune in the living room, and I was jumping up and down on it, and I'm like 2.5 years old. I remember jumping up on and down on it, and she told me not to do that, and I kept doing it, and I fell down between the wall and the Pune, you know, stuck. She had to save me, rescue me, paddle me on the behind with her slipper.
The save and the swat, right?
Yeah, but I remember she was smiling when she did it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Affectionate.
And another time, she saved me. She didn't spank me, but she saved me. I went into the bathroom to go to the bathroom, and I forgot to put the seat down, and I fell in. I'm sitting there with my feet and up and my arms up and stuck. She came in and pulled me out and saved my life. So,
why did you, after high school, why did you join the Honolulu Police Department?
I always wanted to be a policeman. I went to Hanahauʻoli School, and I remember big Hawaiian policemen stood on the corner every morning, and he would help kids cross Makiki Street in Nihoa. And I just idolized this guy. Of course, I was small, and he was big. I probably grew up to be bigger than he was. But anyway, I remember even times where I would hold his hand, and he would help. We would come out into the stop, and he'd have me hold up my hand. And I always wanted to be a policeman.
There's a special feeling, I would imagine, putting a little hand, my little hand, your little hand, in the hand of a big, burly, protective, secure police officer to take me across the street. But, you know, Suzanne, as I listen to that, I think about how in very real way, the Lord, even in his reflection, in David's reflection of him being there at Hanahauʻoli, what it's like for us to have God take us by the hand and take us across the dangerous street of life when cars of many kinds, as it were, different kind of brands, I'm being figurative here, but it could be the brand of various forms of destruction, and how he takes us through even when we ourselves don't know how to get across.
What triggers
within your heart as you've heard David?
Well, I just listened to all the pain that he has experienced. I mean, three deaths of the three people you love the very most. It's just astonishing. I'm hoping we're going to get to the marriage of he and Cindy. Are we? Because there's good news ahead. But my goodness, he's experienced extraordinary loss.
Well, let's get to it as quickly as we can. When we come back from our break, you'll hear more from David Benson. Another interesting thing as we transition, though, you think about Bobby and his passing, his tragic passing, and the many lives that have been saved as a result. And of course, Mike and the organs, cornea, liver, knees.
Astonishing.
So much.
Yes.
Dear one, there's one more segment with Mr. David Benson, and when we come back, you'll hear him share more from his life. Hey, this has been one of those moments where there's been a certain level of heaviness. I think every once in a while, from time to time in our lives, we need to be brought back, our feet firmly planted on the ground, with the reality of the quality of our lives that we live because of what we've experienced and how they are, our lives are enhanced because of it. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road. desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
It is a story of a legacy of Bobby Benson and Mike Benson and the life-giving measures that God has allowed through the leadership of their father, David Benson, the founder of the Bobby Benson Center. Their lives really have saved many other lives. A story of sacrifice, maybe reminding us of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he's given his life, and we live because he lives. We also have hope because he died and rose again. The Good Life Radio Show here, Danny Yamashiro with Suzanne Maurer. Thank you for joining us. This is a pre-recorded interview with David Benson. So we'll go back to that pre-recorded interview and again to find out more about the Bobby Benson Center, bobbybenson.org.
And he'd have me hold up my hand. And I always wanted to be a policeman from small kid time, and that was my desire. My older brother went to United Airlines, and I had no interest in doing anything except being a policeman. So
you retired as a major?
Major, yeah.
Division commander. But you did something else after that. You moved on. Now I'm just thinking of timing and dates and what did you do, and where did you go, and why?
I went to Vermont. I bought some land up there from some old friends of the family with the idea of just kind of getting away from Hawaii for a little while.
And this was after Bobby?
No, this is when I retired.
When you retired.
I bought the land about 2 years before I retired. Mm. But when I retired, I went up there. But just prior to going up there, my friend that lived up there that I bought the land from sent me an article saying that the town up there was looking for a chief of police. Why didn't I apply? So I did. And I retired in December. I went up there in January for an interview. And I guess I was confident enough, even though there were 44 applicants, I thought I was good enough that if I stayed a little longer, they might ask me for a second interview, mm-hmm. which they did. And when I got back, they called me up and offered me the job. So at the end of January, I flew back up there and began working for them, Castleton. The interesting thing about it is they didn't have a police department. There was no police department. They wanted me to build one from scratch.
And you did.
Yeah. But that's what was interesting about it. It wasn't just a run-of-the-mill chief of police in a small town in Vermont.
The entrepreneurial chief of police.
They wanted me to build a police department. Hmm. And so I did, and it was fun. It was a lot of interest. There were a lot of things that big city police coming to a small department, even the state police didn't understand. I remember the first town meeting I asked the city council guys, I said, do you have a PowerPoint, a overhead projector I could use? And they said, a what? So.
Well, you received your training, your formal training at Chaminade. I mean, their bachelor's in both sociology and political science, so certainly
police science.
Police science.
Yeah.
Police science. And so what was your experience like there in Vermont, building a police department and using those skills that you learned at Chaminade and your experiences?
Yeah.
What was that experience like?
I think the sociology degree helped me the most, not only in Vermont, but here in Hawaii. In dealing with people and understanding society and people and movements and stuff. And while I was up there, Castleton University was in the town. It was a big town. It had a lake, a resort lake and everything else, but Amtrak ran through it. And so it had everything. But I thought, why don't I go get a master's degree while I'm there? And I also, the college or the university is in my town, and I get to know people and the students, mm-hmm. and they get to know me. So I went and got a master's while I was there. So, but they said, what are you going to do with it? And I said, put it on my wall.
Yeah. That is a use. That is a use. But I would imagine your connections with the people were much more than surface, especially when you're with students.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You're working in law enforcement.
I did some unusual things up there that really had some good results. There are a lot of fraternities, off-campus fraternities, that were a lot of trouble to the society and the community up there. And one of the things I started was meeting with the leaders of all the different fraternities and sororities at the college prior to the school year starting, and bringing in the liquor control guys and the domestic abuse guys and the state police and everybody, and talk to them about how would it be if you enjoyed your 4 years of college rather than getting in trouble with the police.
David Benson, yeah, we obviously can see his marvelous leadership capacity, the entrepreneur, the specialist in criminal justice. His life has really gone quite a ways in his life journey. But that's not all. Some marvelous things have happened recently, and I know Suzanne knows him personally and can share a little bit about what has recently taken place as we begin to wrap up our show today.
Well, I'm privileged to know both David and his relatively new wife, Cindy. And if I have the story correctly, they knew each other, but they really connected as they were holding signs for a candidate for an election last year. And as the sign waving wove down, I believe that he invited her for coffee. And one thing led to another. And she had been recently divorced, and it had been a devastating situation for her. So honestly, they were two relatively lost people, very much wanting and needing love. And God connected them in such a beautiful way. And they have a wonderful marriage and life together today. But I also want to go back and just, I've been thinking about the resilience of David. He just kept moving forward. And even in his retirement then, the Lord takes him to Vermont and he faces new challenges there. And I hope it's a real encouragement to our listeners to, I mean, we've heard a story of never give up, in my opinion. And I know that Christ is at the heart of that. And I just hope that that is very encouraging to our listeners.
I'm believing that it is, Suzanne. Of course, it's always our hope. That's why we're here with this program. But a story of never give up, indeed, putting one foot in front of the next.
Literally.
You know, sometimes it's not a fancy foot. It's not a slick foot. It's just put the foot in front of the next. And I think we read about Psalm 119 where the scripture says, "Thy word, God's word, is a lamp to our feet, a light into our path." Mm-hmm. You know, the light doesn't shine, you know, a mile ahead. It just gives us enough to take a next step or two or three. And maybe someone today just needs a reminder. Yes, with this never give up story, dear one, just take one step. Mm-hmm. That's it. One more step. God knows what you're going through. God knows what you've been through. Dear friend, oh, how we love you, and God loves you. And the word, just take one step. One step today. Okay? Would you do it? One step. And as we close, it's always our hope that you've been encouraged by the story of David Benson. You can find out more about the Bobby Benson Center at bobbybenson.org. And you know, there's no better time than right now, as we typically say, to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, hey, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. I've presented the gospel there at thegoodlifehoy.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. We've got a special presentation there. If you'd like to help us with your financial support, to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehoy.com and click Partners. Romans 12:12, rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. It's always a blessing to be with you. Special thank you to David Benson. Find out more at bobbybenson.org. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave